Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Stay on your feet. Please stay standing for just a moment. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can just speak the name of Jesus and you hear us. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your holiness. God, we worship you this morning. We ask that you would open our hearts to hear the truth that you want us to know today, that you want to encourage us with this morning. In your name we pray, amen. And take a seat, and good morning. We made it. How many of you brought a boat here today? I'm gonna need a ride home if you did, because I did not. And my name is April, if you don't know me. I'm the children's pastor here at Wellspring, and I'm so glad to see you guys. Thank you, that's my team. I paid them to cheer for me. It's awesome to be here with you guys. Last week, we started a new short series called Simple as That. And it is a short series about some short stories that Jesus taught that we call parables. And Jesus used parables in order to teach us principles for our life, practices that we can adopt, promises, and truths about God. And so last week, Trey taught the parable of the soils. If you missed that, I would encourage you to go onto our app. If you don't have our app, grab that and download it. It's free. It's the best way to go catch up on messages that you might have missed. But he taught on the parable of soils, which is an incredible message. And today we're going to look at a completely different parable. But before we get into it, I want you to begin thinking about someone you might know who is they're like a go-getter. You know, like they get their mind set on something and they don't give up until they get that thing. Maybe it's a dream job that they are going after and they're working really hard and they're plowing their way towards that dream job. Or it might be that they're trying to make the team and achieve a goal. Or it might be that they're trying to get the girl of their dreams, whatever it is. They're just a go-getter and they don't quit. I've had friends before in my life who, they won't leave you alone until you like go try the restaurant that they've been raving about. Do you have those people? Or until you will come to church with them, or until you are served with them, they're gonna annoy the heck out of you until you finally will come and serve like they've been talking about, right? We have people in our life like that. If you're a parent, this might be easy because I feel like every family has at least one kid who is a can we kid. They're just like, can we get a dog? Can we go to McDonald's? You know, like, they don't stop. And we have one of those kids. Does anybody else have one of those? A can we kid in your family? Yep, of course you do. And sometimes if you don't have children, you might have a pet who's like this because pets are very persistent. They don't give up either. We have a cat, and my husband will be the first one to tell you that our cat will not leave him alone in the morning. She's knocking stuff off the dresser. She's pouncing on his face. She's clawing at furniture until he gets up and feeds her. I do not do that. He does. But pets can be very persistent. So you probably have people or pets like this in your life. But I want you to think, too, about what motivates a person like that? What is it that drives them to be so go-getter, so persistent to where they will not give up? What is it about those people? It could be because they're desperate. They don't have any choice but to be that persistent. It could be that they are dependent, especially if it's a child or if it's an animal. Like, they can't do it without you. I mean, if our cat had thumbs, I'm pretty sure she wouldn't need us for anything. She would just be popping open that can of food and sitting back eating all the time. But it could be because they're just a very bold person. They're not afraid of being told no. They're not afraid of rejection. Like, they will go after it, and what have I got to lose? So they just run head first, and they're not afraid. Whatever it is, you know people like that. I know people like that. You might be like that. And if you are, I want you to know you're going to love where we're going today, because Jesus is talking about that type of persistence in order to teach us a practice that we can adopt and to teach us a truth about God. And so the parable that we're going to look at today is found in only one of the Gospels, one of the four Gospels. Luke is the only one who records this parable. And it's found in chapter 18. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along with me, you can. The verses will be up on the screen for you, though. But as Luke begins this parable and teaching us what Jesus said, he tells us exactly why Jesus is teaching this story. This is what he says. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. The word then is a context clue, as my middle schooler likes to remind me of. Use your context clues. Then is a context clue that hints that what happened before then is important in this part of the story that Luke is telling. So if we back up to the end of chapter 17, we find the answer. And it is that Jesus has just answered a question about when the kingdom of God would come. And what he says is that the kingdom of God is already among you. It's within you. Anyone who is a follower of Jesus, anyone who believes in him, is a kingdom carrier. We carry the kingdom of God within us. And he starts to explain to them that as kingdom carriers, there is going to come a time when we are longing for the return of Jesus, for his final return to earth. We are going to long for that day. We're going to find ourselves feeling weary and weak from the world and longing and saying, when is Jesus coming back? And he begins to identify with his followers in that way, saying that even he, the Son of God, would know suffering and pain on this earth. And we know that the experience of the cross certainly brought Jesus a great deal of physical pain. But it wasn't just physical pain. He also knew the pain of rejection and abandonment and betrayal by his friends. He knew loss and pain when he went to the cross. And so Jesus is having this whole conversation with his listeners. And that's when Luke says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to teach them, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So he's just acknowledged, hey, the world is going to make you weak and weary, and you're going to long for better. There are going to be times when you feel like throwing in the towel. Do you ever have days like that where you just feel like, I'm done here. I'm over it. This doesn't make sense anymore, and I can't keep doing this. We all have days like that, and Jesus says, when you find yourself feeling that weakness and that weariness, don't give up. Instead, he invites us to pray. Not just to pray occasionally or once in a while, but to pray consistently. He says to be persistent in pushing through stress, in pushing through weariness, in pushing through weakness. Jesus is teaching us in this parable that he's about to tell to be persistent through every problem with prayer. Persist through every problem with prayer. It sounds like such an obvious answer, especially for those of us who would call ourselves Christians or consider ourselves Christ followers. It might even sound a little bit cliche, like we'll just pray about it and everything will get better. But I want us to talk about this for a minute, because how many of us, when we are feeling so depleted, when we're feeling sad and we're feeling disappointed, is our first response always prayer? Sometimes, if I'm being honest, I'll admit, prayer is sometimes a last resort rather than a first response. It's a last resort. I can think of all kinds of things that I do to make myself feel better and to cope when I'm having a bad day or when I'm going through a hard season. It could be anything from like complaining and venting to my husband or to a friend, to pounding it out on the pavement and just going for like a power walk, like walking out. It might be that I'm eating my way to the bottom of a bag of carbs or scrolling social media, which never works, by the way, or rage cleaning the house, or retail therapy, or you've got your own methods to the madness, right? Whatever it is, sometimes what we do is we say that we've prayed about something, and we think we've prayed about something, but what we've really done is marinate on it and worry about it and stress over it. There's a difference between marinating in a problem, spending a lot of conversation and mental energy and physical energy worrying about it and thinking about it versus actually making an intentional and conscious decision to bring it to Jesus and lay it at his feet. There's a difference between intellectualizing a problem and processing it with the Holy Spirit in prayer. And if you're not sure which one of those you're doing, ask yourself this question. Who am I expecting to solve this problem? Who do I believe can fix this? And if you can answer that question, you might know whether you're marinating in it or if you're processing it and intentionally handing it over to God. And see, Jesus knows us. He knows our tendencies so well. And he also knows that this world can make us feel weak, that we're going to have days where we feel so depleted, like we just cannot do it anymore. And so he says, when you start to feel that way, don't give up, but instead persist in prayer. Persist through every problem in prayer. And he tells this story, this illustration, to make his point. He starts talking about a judge and a widow. First, he says this. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. There was this uncaring judge. And the people who are listening to this story automatically are locked in and they're nodding along because they were in a time when King Herod was ruling over Judea. And King Herod was very power hungry. He was selfish. He did not care about people. So as Jesus is describing this judge, they're like, yep, we know a guy. We know exactly someone like that. And then he begins to talk about a widow, which a widow during that time symbolized one of the most vulnerable people of the population. Because if you know, widows, women in general, were not allowed to work. They couldn't work, they couldn't earn money. And so if a woman was left without her husband, she had no way of providing for herself. She couldn't earn money. So especially if she had no family to look after her, if she had no sons, if she had no son-in-laws or whoever in her family could look after her, she was left and very susceptible to being taken advantage of, very vulnerable and weak among the population. And so Jesus says this, there's an uncaring judge, and then there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. So he's painting a picture of this woman who's very needy, very vulnerable, but yet she keeps coming over and over to this uncaring judge, which must mean she's very bold. She's not afraid of him because it's well known that he's unkind, that he doesn't care for people, but she is not stopped by that. She keeps going to him every day, walking across town, making the trip, and going to this uncaring judge. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a hard time asking for help. Not because I don't think I need it. I definitely need so much help. I'm a mess. But I hate to ask other people or burden someone else or inconvenience someone else in order to ask for help. Do any of you identify with that? I doubt I'm alone in that. It's hard to ask for help. So like my kitchen will be on fire before I'm asking anybody in my house to help me. But this woman, this widow cannot afford niceties and politeness. She's way beyond that because she is so desperate for help, she can't afford to worry about burdening or bothering this judge. And so her motivation is desperation, and in her desperation, she's become very bold. She does not care about being a nuisance. She's going every day. And here's what Jesus tells us. For some time, he refused, but finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I want you to get a picture of this woman who comes every day around the same time. Good afternoon, Judge. Here I am again. I brought those cookies you like. Did you look at my case yet? Did you make any decisions? What are we doing today? What answer do you have for me? And he keeps turning her down. He keeps sending her away, and every day she comes a little bit more indignant, a little bit more defiant, a little bit more stubborn, like, I am going to get my way today, to the point that it's beginning to bother the judge. He's bothered by it. It's beginning to drive him crazy. Here's what Jesus says, actually. He describes that the judge says, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Attack me. Now, I think Jesus is making his audience laugh because this word, this phrase, attack me, translated from the original word, means something like a boxer would do, to like knock the lights out of his opponent or cause them a black eye. So he's giving this very vivid picture that people will understand, and they probably laughed and chuckled a little bit. But Jesus is painting this picture of a woman who has become unhinged in her emotion because she is so indignant. Like, she is going to get what she wants, and she is persistent. And the judge says, I don't believe in God, and I don't care about people, but I need this woman off my back, and so I'm going to give her what she wants. And then Jesus says this. The Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? At first, it may seem like Jesus is comparing God to this unkind judge, but that's not what he's doing. He's contrasting God with this unkind judge. He's saying, God is nothing like that. He's the opposite of this unkind judge. God is the most caring. He's the most compassionate. He's the most generous, the most gracious and forgiving. And no matter how many times we come to him, we're never bothering him. Jesus is using this parable and this story to teach us a truth about God, and it's this. God is never worn out by our weakness. No matter how desperate we are, no matter how dependent we are on him, no matter how bold we care to be in prayer, God is never worn out when we feel weak or weary. He's never bothered. You know, depending on how we grew up and our different backgrounds of faith and what we've been modeled and kind of what we've been shown and taught about God, we may develop these ideas that we're bothering God or that he can't be bothered with our stuff. Like if I've got a sickness running through my house, a virus of some sort, I may start to feel like, well, that's too small for God. He's too busy for that. And he can't be bothered with these small things. Or it might be that you come to God with the same thing over and over again so many times. Your financial burdens, or the struggles in your marriage, or the issues that you have at work, over and over, a bad habit you're trying to break, and it feels like you've begun to wear out your welcome with God. Like when you come to him with stuff, you imagine him saying, didn't we just talk about that yesterday? Didn't you just come to me with that this morning? And so he plops back in his recliner and turns on the TV and tunes you out. But Jesus is saying that's not how God is. People can be that way. You've probably experienced people or felt that from people before, where it feels like they're tired of hearing about our problems. They're tired of us talking about the same thing all the time, and they're ready for us to move on from grief. They're ready for us to move on out of that crisis that we're in. But God is never tired of it. That's the whole point of this parable that Jesus is teaching us, is to show us that God is never worn out when we feel weak. He invites us to come, and in fact, he's inviting us to be persistent in coming, to not stop, to not give up, to keep going again and again and again as many times as it takes to his feet and saying, please help me. Please help me. God is teaching us that he's not worn out by us, and he's listening. He listens to our concerns. He will never turn us away. You know, in this last series that we just finished called When God Calls Your Name, it's about how we hear from God, and Trey taught us about that, and we learned about the ways that we hear from God and sort of the mechanisms of prayer. And as I listened to that every week, I was thinking about the wonder of that. That the God of all creation, the living God, speaks to us. That he has things that he wants to impart to us, wisdom he wants to share, insights he wants to open our eyes to, plans he wants us to be a part of. He speaks to us. Think about that. But not only does he speak, he listens. Jesus is telling us, our Heavenly Father listens to our concerns. If it's on our mind, if it's burdening us, he cares about it. And he's never bothered when we bring it to him. He listens and he responds. Jesus says this. He says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Jesus is making us a promise about God that he will answer. He will do something about it. When we come to him and we call on him for help, when we bring him our concerns, he's eager. Jesus says, quickly. That means he's eager to listen and he's eager to respond and help. That does not mean that we're going to get exactly what we want immediately or that we're going to get exactly what we asked for. God is not Santa Claus and he's not the Burger King. This is not have it your way. He is a sovereign God who knows how to give good gifts to his children. And even when it doesn't make sense, and even when we don't understand, we know that God is responding and that he's at work. In faith, we can believe that. He knows how to give good gifts. And I want to back up and remind us why Jesus is teaching this parable in the first place. Remember, he's saying, when you start to feel weary, when you are ready to give up, that's when you come to me in prayer. Because Jesus knows the weariness and the weakness of this world, that it causes weakness in us, but he also knows that something supernatural happens in prayer. That when we come to him, there's a supernatural thing that happens because we become aware of God's presence. In the last series, I think it was like weeks 2 and 3, Trey talked about the access that we have through Jesus to the holiest of holies, the throne room of God. And we don't have time to get into the mechanics of that, but what I want to remind you of is that that same access that we have to God's throne room grants us unlimited access to God's resources, his resources of strength and peace and power and wisdom and patience and love and joy, and all of that is ours for us who call him our heavenly Father, who have believed in his son Jesus. We get access to his unlimited resources. And so God doesn't just listen to us. He listens to our concerns, and Jesus says that he responds with his resources. He will respond. He promises us that he will respond. And it may not look like we expect. In fact, it likely won't most of the time. But he will give us exactly what we need in that moment to sustain us. I remember being in high school, and I'm terrible at math, terrible at all math. And so we would have like a test in high school, and right before the teacher would lay the test on my desk, I'd be going, Lord, if you could just help me magically know how to do these pre-cal problems, that would be amazing. You know, it's like I'm just going to have this magical ability to do math all of a sudden. And God never responded that way. But what he would do is he would give me the self-discipline to tune out distractions and study, or he would give me a friend who could help me understand it differently than I've been taught in class. God doesn't usually respond in the way that we expect or want him to, but he will respond. Maybe he doesn't pluck you out of that crisis, but he gives you the patience and the hope that you need to sustain you through it. Maybe what he does to provide his resources is to give you compassion and kindness for someone else who needs it, someone else who's struggling. God gives us his resources in unlimited amounts, and as many times as it takes, we can go to him. It might be that every 20 minutes you're like, God, I'm back again and I need patience. Lord, here I am again and I need hope. Lord, I need strength. 15 minutes later, Lord, I need some wisdom with my children. We keep going to him over and over and over, and he will never send us away. I love how Jesus wraps up this parable by saying, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What he's saying is, will you have faith in what I'm telling you today? believe me when I say, I am coming back and I'm going to make everything right again. But in the meantime, do not give up. Keep persisting with your Heavenly Father in prayer because He cares about you. Jesus says, persist through every problem in prayer. When you feel weak and depleted, when you are stressed, when you're anxious, when you're ready to give up, don't. Keep coming to your Heavenly Father over and over and over because He is never worn out by you. You are never too needy for God. You are never too needy for God. And Jesus is encouraging us and reassuring us of that in this parable. So often for me, when I come to God with something, what He does is He gives me a simple, quiet confidence, reassuring, hey, daughter, I love you. I hear you, and I'm already working things out so you can rest in my power. That's who God is. That's what God does. When we come to Him in prayer, there is a practice of handing things over to Him, making a conscious, intentional decision to lay something at Jesus' feet and trust Him with it. And it does something to us supernaturally where it shifts the posture of our heart and it changes our perspective of the problem and reminds us that God is the one who's in control and we can trust Him with it. I have so many examples of times that I've had to persist through something in prayer with God. But there's one that always stands out to me in my mind, and I want to tell you about it. It was something, a season that I had to walk through with my family, my OG family, meaning like my parents, my siblings. And without going into a whole lot of detail and a long, long story, I'll just tell you that my sister, my older sister, lost custody of her son. He was 5 years old at the time. And she was an incredible mom, a wonderful mom. But through a series of some things that had happened, there were just these really wild accusations, unfounded accusations made against someone in our family. And when it was reported, the child services saw fit to pull my nephew out of the home and do an investigation. And if you've ever done anything, had any experience with the justice system, you know it's a slow process, a very slow process. And on top of that slow process, there were some overlap in the system from the other side, some overlap in law enforcement and the judicial system, some relational overlap, which complicated the case and made it even more difficult. And so what happened is their case was circulating all around these surrounding counties and no judge would want to take their case. No judge wanted to touch it because of that interference. And so this went on for a long time, 2 years. 2 years, my sister did not have custody of her only child. And during that 2 years, there were hearings and depositions and guardian ad litems and all of these rules that she had to follow and all of these things. And it was, as a sister, so hard to watch. And all of us in our family, we were what Trey has said is powerless and paralyzed. There was literally nothing that we could do to make anything better. All we could do was cry out to God and ask Him for help. That's all we could do. And that's what we did every single day. We cried out to God and we asked for His help and we asked Him to intervene and we asked Him to expedite that case and we asked Him to give my sister help and we asked for my nephew to come home and we asked for him to just be okay. And we asked for a judge, any judge, to take that case. And I will tell you that throughout that 2-year period, God was always listening and always responding every single time. It is not in the way we wanted. It is not in the way we expected. What we wanted was for my nephew to come home immediately. We wanted it to be over. But that is not how God responded. But he never turned us away. And he kept responding in ways that were beyond what we could think or imagine. My sister was able to get up every day, breathe fresh breath, go to work, and do life. That in and of itself was a miracle, let me tell you, because she was broken. She's told me that was a time in her life, the only time when she's ever thought, I would just rather not be here. If this is how hard it's going to be, I would just rather not be here. But God gave her exactly what she needed every day to get up and do life. And we kept celebrating birthdays and we kept celebrating holidays and we found laughter, not because everything was okay, but because God provided these supernatural moments of levity and joy in the midst of all that pain and suffering. He was good. And he was providing his resources, working behind the scenes in ways that we didn't know for weeks or months at a time. And finally, a judge took their case and dismissed everything, and my nephew went home with her. And he's 16 now, and he's doing great. He's great. But if she was standing here with me right now, I talked to her yesterday, and she said, April, you tell them that God isn't just working behind the scenes. He's working forward. That's how good God is. She said, that grew my faith. It gave me confidence in God. And he has equipped me to walk through things now in this very moment that she's walking through that she wouldn't have been able to do had God not redeemed that circumstance and that storm in her life. So if you are in that place today, I don't know what you're carrying. I don't know what you came in here with. I don't know what circumstance is wearing you down. But if you are in a place today where you feel like, I am just ready to quit. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. Please don't give up. Please don't give up. If you hear me say nothing else today, your Heavenly Father listens to your concerns and he is eager to respond. You are never wearing him out. You are never too needy for him, and you can keep coming as many times as it takes, and he will be there. And he promises to provide exactly what you need to sustain you. You know, sometimes when we are walking through something like that, it's hard for us to even find the words to pray to God, isn't it? It's hard to even know where to start and where to begin. And when I have been in those circumstances, worship is a tool for me. Worship music is a tool, and the Psalms are a tool for me. And so I want to read a psalm over you this morning before we close. In just a moment, we're just going to pray together. We're just going to give you some time to pray and persist with God regarding anything that you're concerned about today. The altar is going to be open here. If you need to come and just lay something at Jesus' feet in faith, trusting that he is working in it, if you need someone to pray with you and agree with you in prayer and believe with you, our prayer team will be here to do that. But we're going to take some time for you to just persist in prayer this morning with your Heavenly Father, because you have his full attention. I want to read you what King David prayed, the song that he wrote, because these words demonstrate the type of persistent, bold, and desperate faith of the widow that Jesus told us about. So I'm going to just pray this over you, and you just adopt these words for your own self. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy. Bring joy to your servant, Lord. For I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you will answer me. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have your full attention. These next few moments are yours for you to lay whatever you need to at the feet of your Heavenly Father this morning. In Jesus' name.